Okay, so this is the Vanguard Academy board meeting. Today is Tuesday, January 10th, 1022, or 2023, sorry. The time is 6:36 p.m. We'll open the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, then we'll have our roll call. So we'll just go around the table, starting with Joy and go around.
Joy Palmer, board clerk.
Charles Reynolds, school director.
Brad Nelson, board member.
Michael Clark, interim co-director.
I'm Brad Wilkinson, interim co-business administrator.
Debbie Lalonde, board member.
Darren Jenkins, board member.
Grace Mitchell, board treasurer.
And Eric Freeman, board chair. So the first item is public comment. And I don't know if we had any scheduled, but I want to introduce the board to Rachel Anderson. She's our board mentor. And so maybe I'll give her just a minute to introduce herself.
Rachel Anderson. I'm an attorney at the law firm Fabian Bancott. My practice area focuses on local government law, and I mostly represent special districts. So my practice focuses mainly on the type of districts that provide quasi-municipal type services, so water, sewer, fire, mosquito abatement, parks and rec, anything you can think of. My law firm also has a school district practice. A different attorney does that, but I do work with her regularly. So we were contacted by the state school charter board. I know I always get the words mixed up in the right order, in the wrong order, about this board mentor position because of my experience with government boards and board operations, fiscal responsibility, those sorts of things. So. I have met with Eric once via phone to go over some things, and so I'm just here to observe today and see how things are going. Happy to answer any questions at any time.
And if you have any input and any feedback on how we can be a more effective or better board, we welcome anything you've got. So we appreciate you coming and offering your help. Okay, so I don't think we have any more public comments. The next item on the agenda is items of excellence. So we'll open that up to the staff and the board or anyone else that has anything they wanted to bring up.
I just want to mention we're starting to the second semester, and I've really seen the teachers and the students really working hard in the first week. We're trying to make sure this is going to be a very successful semester. And I just want to thank the teachers and the staff for the hard work they did through the break to make sure everything was ready to go.
Yeah. I've had several students who had lost their planners over the break or come to my office, probably about 50, and say, I have to have my planner. I can't go to class without my planner. So they're utilizing the study skills and, you know, updating their binders, getting new tabs. So,
just so it's on public record, our conference worked out very well. If you were in attendance, you could see how hard the kids worked, and the excellence that they put into that performance was phenomenal.
It was fantastic.
Okay. If there's no more, then we'll move on to the next item, which is the minutes from the previous meeting. So you should have these minutes in the packet that Joy passed out. So give everyone a chance to review those, and then once everyone's reviewed them, then we'll entertain motions to approve those minutes.
December 1st, 2022, board minutes.
Grace motioned to approve. Darren seconded the motion. So all in favor of approving the December 1st, 2022 meeting minutes, say aye.
Aye.
I'll say aye also. Any opposed, say no. Okay, so the voting is unanimous. These minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is the director's report. We'll turn it over to Charles for that.
Okay. Just a few updates from the previous meeting. The repairs from the flood have been completed except for a few areas in the electrical breaker room and boiler room. We were able to get those completed over the Christmas break. The classrooms are all completely restored. The contractors did a fantastic job getting everything back there. And we were able to make up the academic day that was lost the Monday after the flood occurred on January 3rd. And so we did get that taken care of. With the start of the second semester, we were short on classrooms and currently have two classrooms that are temporarily set up in the new space while we're working on the plans for the remodel. It's our hope that we can be ready to move forward with the remodel come the summer. But in the meantime, we are utilizing the space. Also, just an update, our basketball season has started and we're excited for this year. We do want to invite board members to attend any of the games. We've got two road games this week and then one in Ogden and one in Harriman. And then we'll have a home game coming up next week. So we do want to invite everyone to is interested to attend any of those games. We did run into a situation today that I think is going to impact us periodically, in which we received word last minute that West Valley City was going to be shutting off the water at the center where our basketball court is and where we hold our PE classes. So the facility was not available today. I did go over and met with the Redwood Recreational Center for Salt Lake County, and their facility is available for rent at times. We did rent it for today to cover our classes, our PE classes, and we also are going to need it on January 19th next week. For some stuff that the city is doing, the construction that they've got going on Parkway Boulevard. I might mention as a note what I discovered as far as the cost of that facility versus the ZMPC contract that we looked at. They charge $50 an hour, which compared to the agreement we're paying right now is around $22 an hour. We are getting a really good deal with the facilities we have financially, and it was quite a bit more to move over even for one day and use the county's facility.
Are we getting refunded for the time we're not able to use the other facility?
I've talked to them. Actually, in looking through the lease, one of the things that our current agreement has it used till 3:30, and they've actually been not even charging for the use for the basketball service.
Okay.
And as I looked at that and talked to them today, that's what we realized. We got to monitor that, and we'll make sure that there's no offset, that we're still getting our full value in the full amount of time.
Okay.
But they're actually making an even better deal, because so this whole year they did not include in the lease to increase anything for the after-hour use for our basketball games. And yet they have been providing the facilities free of charge. So I didn't ask for a refund today for that reason, unless the board members think we need to do anything different, because cancellation days weren't addressed in the agreement. I do think the agreement expires this year, and for the renewal, we do need to make things a little more clear in that contract. And we'll try to negotiate, make sure there's a better and more detailed contract that addresses that for the board to review when the time comes.
Okay.
Just one question, clarification. Is it the same landlord as this building as it is down there? Is it a different landlord?
Okay. Different landlord. Also, just let the board know our enrollment is now open, and we did, in accordance with the request from the State Charter School Board, extend the closing date until March 31st. We've got a full 3 months of enrollment. We've already, just in the first 2 weeks, received quite a few applications. We did set it up to make it fairly easy so that there's a link online so a person can just fill out an application right online. They don't need to come in, they don't need to do anything other than online. And we've had both people coming to the store, or coming to the school, to fill out applications in quite a few weeks.
What's our enrollment up to then? Capacity.
Our capacity for next year is approved at 550, which for this year it was 530, but we do have the leading seat to go over a little bit, which we did this year, and we expect we will also next year. But because of what's approved, unless the State Charter Board will let us expand a little more, there's not a whole lot of room to grow beyond just replacing our graduating seniors each year. But that is where we're at. We do anticipate we're going to get quite a few more applications than what we'll be able to accept.
Did we put up any banners or anything like they requested?
Yes, there is a banner that we've got hung. It's our banner from last year, which cuts it off at January 31st, and we've ordered a new banner to replace it.
Okay.
That'll extend that date. That'll show the extended date, but the website online does reflect and show the extended date, and the emails and electronic flyers that we've sent out do reflect the extended dates.
Okay.
I went over and talked to Simon a little bit and met with him. It's to actually set up an agreement or something. It didn't look like it would be something we could throw together for this year. But we did. I did invite him to send people to apply, and then we were also. I was going to discuss with them the possibility of having some type of a fair or something that we could encourage people next year. But like I say, we're probably a little behind schedule, a little bit late to try to throw something together for this year.
Yeah, for those that aren't aware, Simon's losing younger kids when the sixth grade sibling graduates from. They just go to sixth grade and go somewhere else, and it becomes a burden for the parents to drive multiple places. So Charles and Simon are having some conversations to help those parents understand that they never can be an option for all the kids.
And who's Simon?
Simon Robbenheimer. He's the director of Hollywood.
Oh, Deborah, okay.
I guess it's...
There's Robbenheimer. That wasn't it. Question. Has the school ever had a wait list before?
Yes.
Probably looks like they'll probably have one this year.
It does look like we'll have one this year, yes.
A wait list lottery policy.
We do, yes. Let's see, another thing I want to mention, just last week we received a notice from the Salt Lake Community College CE department that the community college, starting immediately on January 5th, has approved a tuition, a CE transition tuition waiver. So it's basically a scholarship for any of our graduates if they earn, if they've completed six or more SLIC concurrent enrollment credits, earned a 3.0 or better GPA, and are U.S. citizens, they'll automatically be awarded a transfer tuition waiver to go straight into SLIC.
Is that for like the full associate's degree or first year?
It would be if they don't already complete their associate's degree, mm-hmm. but they have enough credits, they can transfer and finish off their associate's mm-hmm. degree. And the waiver actually consists of $500 for between 6 to 8 credits, $750 for between 9 to 11 credits, and $1,000 if they're signing up for more than 12 credits on a tuition waiver.
So it's not a complete tuition waiver, it's just a...
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's a complete waiver, but it's a supplement to help students that want to transfer after graduation and continue with SLIC. And so we will make sure that our parents, our students are aware of that and have access to that, especially for seniors and early graduates. But that was nice to see that SLIC is trying to encourage to help make a transition from high school into college. And then just another update on some of the RFPs that we tabled from the previous meeting and we're rebidding. They're still in the process. We've got some of the bids back, and maybe I'll let Michael kind of just update on where we're at.
Yeah, so the RFP, both RFPs have closed. We got some responses, and a staff member now is going through and stripping all the identifiable information out so that our evaluation team can then go through and score it according to the scoring rubric. And so once that process is finalized, then we'll bring that data back to the board for the board to make a final decision on who to choose. The evaluation team is going to be myself and Brad. I was going to ask Debbie Llewellyn if she would also serve on that evaluation team to score those rubrics or to score those proposals. We have another procurement that we were working on. It was not an RFP because it didn't reach to that level yet, and we got some bids on that. We'll be bringing those to the board for approval as well. So, update on that one as well. Any questions?
No. That concludes my director's report. That's everything we have for right now, other than the specific items on the agenda.
Okay. Since there's no more questions on the director's report, we'll move on to the finance committee report. And John is not here, so are you taking that one?
Charles? Yes.
Okay.
I'll take that, and then if there's any questions, either I or Brad Wilkinson might be able to help answer any questions too. The financial summary in here is actually the report that Brad Wilkinson has helped us design. I think it's really great as far as a summary to present and see exactly how we're going, how we're doing. And then the attached detailed report is behind it. Overall, you can see that compared to our adopted budget, we're at about 45%. We're halfway through the year. It's just right about where we expect to be. That's all this lets the board members review that. If you have any questions for any of us, try to address these.
I have a question for Brad. So as kind of an outside observer coming into this, do you see anything in the budget that stands out to you or that?
I don't. Just kind of the design model for this is one, it's, you know, the more detail that can help the board and the finance committees make decisions, where you can see, you know, whatever decision you have to make, if it's a financial decision or a decision on enrollments, this should be able to support you and help you in those decision making. It is set up where it's just kind of percentages through the year. So up at the top, it'll show that you're 50% through the school year. So the green is an indicator to show you on the revenue side if you're at or better than 50%. And on the expenditure side, it would be the same 50% or below. So anything in red is kind of giving you the idea that, hey, we're on the revenue side, we're short. And on the expenditure side, we're over expensed. I worked with John and just kind of showing him that if you do have areas where you might be over, might be appropriate 2-3 times a year to do some budget revisions with the board. Mm-hmm. Obviously, budgets are really fluid and things change month to month. So there's always movements that you have to do. And so I kind of worked with John in getting some, the column on here that's the big title changes. Those are things that he has done from budget adoption until now. And it'll just show you kind of what movements have been made. You might be over budgeted in one area. Fluctuate and change some things around. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of an indicator if you as a board just to see green and red and know where you might be over. And for me, it always just kind of depends on the amount. If you may be at 98%, but it's not really small. Sometimes you front load costs at the beginning of the school year versus midway through. So it's just a matter of working with, you know, your finance team to find out why we might be over in an area. So it's just there to just kind of help guide the process and help you as a board make some decisions. And just work with John and getting transparency and the more detail, the better, just to help in that process.
Okay, yeah. This format's a big improvement.
Just kind of looking at it, I think it all looks kind of right on track. The only thing I've noticed on this that, you know, John and you as a board could work on is just chartered goals. Mm-hmm. At our charter school, we have bond covenants, and so a lot of our bond covenants are tied to our goals financially, and making sure that we meet those covenants and bondholders are happy with us and we're doing what we've asked them, you know, what they've asked us to do through those covenants. You're not in that. So at this moment, that's blank, but that's something we can work towards as a team and find out where those goals are and what we'd like to see happen year to year financially. So yeah, that's just kind of the concept of this model, and just kind of helps you. The cash on hand is always an important thing. I think the state charter school board always is interested in knowing how much cash you have on hand in case something happens.
Right.
So 129 days is, I think 90 days is what kind of like the bare minimum that they would like you to have. So 129 days is pretty healthy. So yeah, from an outsider looking at it, I don't see too many issues.
Okay. Yeah, we appreciate you helping John with this format. Yeah. I think it's a big improvement over what we had before.
Perfect.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions or discussions on this?
Everything.
but once it's submitted, it's approved right there by the state. So they have their closed windows, so I'd say within 30 days of submitting it. So it just kind of depends on how much, expenditure-wise, how much is there, and how often John chooses to submit.
Any other thoughts? Brad? Grace?
No.
Nope. Okay. If there's no more discussion on the Finance Committee report, it sounds like item number 6, we need to go back and adjust some of the proposed wording. Is that what your understanding is?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll table this one until next meeting. And then number 7 is the policy lease amendment. So we had, we'll turn it over to Charles for this item.
In the previous meeting, then the board approved an amendment to be submitted to the State Charter Board. Included in your packet is their review of that lease. Dave Mortensen recommended that at this point we didn't sign the amendment yet, that he wanted to kind of respond. He wanted to respond to this, and I'm not sure if he's actually, is he still working on the response or if he submitted it yet. Do you know, Grace?
I don't think he submitted anything yet.
Okay. So I think he's still working on this response to each area.
And is there a requirement for a response?
There is not a requirement for a response. In fact, she does mention, even Liz Bunker mentions in this letter, keep in mind that any review provides only non-binding advice as per statute. A review does not grant permission or prohibit a school from entering into any lease contract or agreement. Just within their comments, and as you go through, as I read it, some of their comments are a little bit inconsistent. For example, in item 2, they say there's a strong concern that the lease and amendments favor the landlord, and that they say one of the reasons is that, if I could see, they say in general it appears that the lease of additional space is more for the landlord's benefit than for Vanguard's benefit, because the Vanguard doesn't really need the space, which is contrary to what we have told them. We've got 2 classes already in the space.
So clarification, you are using the space now.
We are using it, yes.
And we still have one class that meets in the hallway in a little lobby area, the study hall. It's not very effective, that needs a classroom. And the classes meeting in the new space, some of them don't have walls, or one of them has no walls. It's just a big open area.
Are we paying rent on the new space yet?
We are, yes.
Full rent, the rent that's in the agreement. But we're not using it all yet? Because it can't be improved yet?
Correct.
Do you agree, Bob? What is the square footage of the new space? What's the square footage of the new space?
I don't know right off the top of my head. It's somewhere between 20,000 and 25,000 square feet.
The classrooms, you got anything to report?
Classrooms? classrooms?
It'll be primarily for classrooms, yeah.
And if I understand it, mostly concurrent enrollment classrooms. That way the concurrent enrollment students will have their own space and area in the school that kind of separates them from the younger grades. But if anybody walked into our school on any regular school day, you would walk in and see the class in the hallway. We really need the space and the ones currently using it.
And our enrollment's increasing again next year too.
Yeah.
So.
Like I say, the plan is to get the remodel during the summer, school's out. I don't quite have a design yet to bring to the board, but just as soon as we've got that ready, we'll bring it to the board for proposal for your review.
Classes in the hall into the new space.
Well, it's just one big open area with some little offices off to the side.
And we are utilizing some of the offices as well as the areas being used for classrooms. Some of our administration are utilizing the office space that is there.
Are they wanting something in the lease that states we're not paying for certain areas until there are students utilizing the area? It's been approved. Is that what? And is that normal? Is that common for a landlord to?
As you review their response, they basically, their comments are going back to the original lease and not even the amendment itself. I did find Darren in this, that they've included in their letter the additional space is about 14,000 square feet.
They are saying at the end that they're recommending the
They are, and
or is there a specific way they want it addressed?
I know the response Dave is preparing. He's simply going straight down the list of all their comments 1 through 9, and drafting a response for each comment.
What are your thoughts, Brad? You've got a lot of experience in leasing and
I'm not sure, frankly, because I haven't been around for the beginning before this. What I'm trying to understand is we're paying for the full amount of the space right now, even though there's not an agreement, right? We don't have a site agreement.
That's not correct.
Okay.
This amendment didn't add the space to it. That was added in a previous amendment.
That was
actually in the second amendment.
Oh,
amendment
the second,
two,
okay.
Effective August 1st of 2022, and it was added clear back in 2018.
Okay, so this amendment.
What happened was the previous tenant didn't vacate by August 1st.
Right.
When we were to take it over. And they held it over an additional, I think it was just an additional 2 weeks. And so we weren't able to get the benefit of that additional time. So this amendment just requests that they postpone the increase in the rent for at least 2 months, because that was what was anticipated that would take us to prepare and get the lease ready. Or get the space ready to review and use. Not doing anything else with it beyond that, it has actually been on us, just making sure we have the budget and so much focus on trying to get off probation that we haven't been able to give it the attention we need to.
So we've already signed an amendment that leases the space for the amount.
Yep.
Yes.
And all this is just negotiating
two-month credit.
That's it. That's all that
this
amendment is. So why are we even going through this? If these comments are based on agreements that have already been negotiated and signed that we can't change unless we default on, then there's no reason to spend more legal fees in reviewing that. If we have an amendment that just we vote and we consider that particular amendment. If there have been things that have happened in the past that are either beneficiary or beneficial or not beneficial to the school, it is what it is. It's a lease obligating us to those conditions, and we can't renegotiate them. All we're negotiating here is when we commence the lease to a certain degree, right?
Right, and I suspect the only reason that Dave is asking us to hold off is because he's waiting for this next meeting with the board, and he's trying to see if they can get the board to back off on their hardline stance on the probation. And he's concerned if we sign it, it'll just
as far as the school, who's playing point in the lease negotiations? Who at the school is involved with that?
With the landlord? I am.
You are? And yes. You don't have any conflicts with them?
No.
Those conflicts are listed out, and those aren't there.
So
that's correct.
Partly what I'm struggling with here is that there's kind of two components here. There's the agreement to the amendment that we just is what it is, and then the other part is our potential litigation with the state charter board that isn't discussed in a public meeting. So it's like, okay, if the board wants to wait for the attorney's response to all this, that would be fine, and then we you know, vote on the amendment or not.
I don't have it here.
We reviewed it on last meeting.
Okay.
We've already approved it.
Yeah.
As a board, we've already approved the amendment, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, didn't we approve to submit it? Not necessarily approve it?
Well, we didn't sign it, but we approved it.
If you look at the minutes, it actually is approved. Because I remember now it's, you know, coming back is that the actual, what was it?
The motion was to submit the Fourth Amendment to the lease to the state charter.
So we have not voted to approve that amendment.
It hasn't.
Okay. So if we want to wait for the attorney, I guess we can wait for the attorney.
And it is for sure at the pleasure of the board. I will do whatever the board wants to do if we want to move forward and execute the amendment. Even their letter states that their review doesn't bar that or doesn't prevent that.
If we don't vote on it, then we are essentially waiting. We don't have to vote to not vote.
Right.
Right.
So what is the disadvantage of waiting?
The only disadvantage is the fact that we actually withheld the money the bulk of the money that we're negotiating to credit back, so it didn't actually pay. So right now our ledger with the landlord shows we're in default without the amendment signed. But the landlord, because the amendment's already been negotiating and they've approved it, they're taking no action because they recognize it is all gonna be credited.
But technically they could actually evict us.
They could. That would be the one disadvantage.
They could give notice, and then you can give the default.
Yeah. And then we sign it.
you're not at risk of them coming in and changing the locks.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice?
This is the first I'm hearing of this, so I really hesitate to say.
Yeah.
Also, I really hesitate to delve into giving legal advice.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not my role, but...
No, but from
I haven't even read what you're looking at, so I don't know.
But from a board standpoint, like I say, there seems to be a fine line here between lease negotiations, which can be done in a closed meeting, and, you know, approvals, which you've done in an open meeting.
Correct.
So we either approve it and we just wait till next week, or we don't approve it and we could even call it a closed session and discuss what our negotiation strategy is at that point. Mm-hmm. So
I will say that based on just my reading of the minutes, it looks like we approved to submit it to the state. That's not the same as approving
it.
Right. It's not.
Yep.
Right.
And you can do conditional approvals. You can say we move to approve conditioned upon XYZ happening, and that way you can sign it before the next board meeting if XYZ happens. If that makes sense.
That might make sense to
simply
approve
it
conditional to
delegate it to
Dave Morton's
finance committee, minus whoever's conflicted, and you guys
say that you guys approve of the form, you know, pending your administration and attorney working out whatever you need to get worked out, what that is.
What's the consequences of not signing this amendment now with the landlord? Any?
I don't see any consequences because the landlord is working with us. I will say that just yesterday I got an email from the landlord asking the status and when it would be signed. And I simply responded saying we were waiting for our attorney
to
finalize.
Meet again this month. It sounds like we might need to with the.
I actually wondered
the charter amendment bylaws. Maybe the.
I think that we probably will have to have another meeting, possibly next week or the week after this month, to address the charter amendment and bylaws, which still haven't been approved. And possibly we could add that on to the same meeting and just address both of them at the same time and move forward.
I can even let Dave Mortensen know that from the standpoint of the board, they don't see any downside to signing and moving forward with the amendment. Not waiting on.
Say you approve tonight pending getting the thumbs up from your attorney. That way, if he's still concerned that we shouldn't do it yet,
or we could approve it. We could approve it now, subject to the board reviewing the terms in closed session and approving that in terms of closed session. Because it sounds like we need to kind of have a discussion here about strategy and negotiation, but we. You know, that's more appropriate in a closed session, but then we need that before we can
approve it.
So if we're going to meet later in the month, then we might as well just wait. But I would think my suggestion is that we could, as is an agenda item, we go into a closed session at the end of this meeting and discuss the terms.
Okay.
I would also say that it's an agenda item now, so it's can vote on it now, and you can go into a closed session at any time, and you can take that out of order and go in, go out.
Good.
So
do
that's
right
something
now.
You wanted to do now, and then come back out of closed session and continue that agenda item.
Even though we have it on the agenda for at the end.
Yeah, you can take any agenda
item.
Move
and move. Yeah.
And I know not many people do it this way, but it's my personal opinion that you don't even need to put possible closed session on an agenda in order to have a closed session. It just has to relate to an item that's on the agenda.
So
I wouldn't recommend taking it off.
We have this on here just that's what
as a placeholder
the board has on their
I know
agenda.
Most people do that.
Sure.
I'm just saying that's my personal opinion that you don't really need that. I'm not telling you to take it off, please don't. But
it's
yeah.
not necessary, but we want
yeah. With the most important thing is that the item you're talking about is on the agenda and that it's clearly stated in a manner that the public understands that you're talking about it. If that agenda item itself lends itself to be put in a closed session or veers into an area that might be relevant to a closed session, any member of the board at any time can make a motion to move into closed session as long as it's one of the authorized purposes under the Open Public Meetings Act. And you just can't make take a vote in the closed session. The only vote you can take in the closed session is to re-enter open session, and you can do that at any time, and take it out of order. I mean, you can do any agenda item out of order. If someone, you know, needs to present on something and they're running late, you can say, we'll table this until that person gets here, or whatever. So that's something you want to do tonight.
Do we want to?
We could do it, then I'd make the motion that we go into closed session to discuss the terms of the lease amendment.
Okay.
Do you want to second that motion? I think we have to have a
roll call vote. Yeah, so we have the motion from Brad to go into closed session and the second from Grace, so we'll go around and take a roll call vote from the board members. So,
okay. Brad Nelson, yes.
Kim Mangum, yes.
Debbie Malone, yes.
Darren Jenkins, yes.
Grace Mitchell, yes.
And Eric Freeman, yes. So we will move into closed session. So any...
Stop the recording.